This is Geek Gab with your hosts, Dornall and me, Daddy Warpig. We are back, Geek Gab for Monday, April 1st, 2024. I realize too late that it's April Fool's, and so I probably ought to have said something really strange like 2025, just to throw the audience off.
Thank you for not doing that. Let's be one of those corners of the internet where people don't have to put up with that garbage.
Actually, I haven't seen anything today. Oh, no, that's not true. I saw one thing today. CD Projekt Red had an announcement for a 3.5-inch floppy version of their cyberpunk video game. They said it had like 35,000 discs or something.
Yeah, that's for the old school nostalgic collector.
I remember installing MS Word off of floppy disks at one point. I had a stack of them. There were like 20 of them. And that was the most I ever had to deal with. That was before they went to CDs. That was a pain in the rear. But, you know, I can't imagine what dealing with 35,000 floppies installed. I'd like to see somebody do that. That would take forever. There would be some YouTubers who would literally do that just for the clicks.
Oh, yeah. Do you mean for the viewers or the... Because I think they would do it literally for the clicks. I have no doubt that you can find ASMR videos of people running an old PC, running Windows 3.1 and installing some stuff off of floppy disks. I guarantee you there's ASMR of that.
That sounds awful. That sounds terrible.
He's thought better of it, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's really the only thing I've seen today. Yo, Smith & Wesson announced a 50 caliber snub-nosed revolver.
Rad.
I thought that sounded like a good way to send a bunch of shrapnel all over the range that you were shooting at. But other than that, no real. I mean, I'm sure there's brilliant ones out there. I just haven't seen any today.
In the gaming sphere, I think Autark of Axe did something stupid, and Black Lodge Games announced they were going to make a Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman the RPG.
So yeah. They're not actually making an RPG.
I don't think so.
Okay. Because that actually sounded like, I'm like, oh, I could see that. Everybody's making like their own OSR retro clone. So the fact that they were doing it didn't strike me as, you know, particularly surprising. It's like, oh, okay. Well, there's another one. But now that you, I saw that they had announced a Western one and I was like, oh, okay. But now that you say Dr. Quinn, I'm like, oh, yeah, that does sound far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I should make one. What kind of
unless it was a coffee table book filled with absolutely pristine, high quality photos of Jane Seymour, I don't see what the value in it would be.
Nope.
Jane Seymour is one of the most beautiful actresses of the last 50 years. So that I could see buying just for the, you know, high quality pictures of Jane Seymour. Other than that, then you would just ignore all the text.
Like you said, the coffee table appeal.
Yeah. I'd get more use out of an actual book of pictures of Jane Seymour. I mean, if you remember, did you ever watch the original Battlestar Galactica show?
Never.
She is in that. And she is just outrageously gorgeous. She plays a reporter, but don't hold that against her in the original movie. So if you haven't seen at least a 2 hour, it was a pilot episode for the series that got released as a movie in theaters. So if you haven't seen the original movie, you ought to watch at least that. It was pretty cool. But yeah. I don't know that she was my first celebrity crush, but man, Jane Seymour. What a name. You're supposed to be moving on here. I'm done. I've hit a conversational dead end. This is when you're supposed to jump in and help me out.
I like this. I want to see how far this goes.
Oh, okay.
I should make my own retro clone. What do you think? What kind of game should we make?
Already making a game.
Oh.
I'm neck deep in that. Actually, I'm beyond neck deep in that. So, I can't really help you out there.
Okay, well, I'll get it ready in time for next year's April Fool's gag-a-thon. Yep, the internet sucks. Happy Easter, Daddy Warpig. Happy Easter, everybody else.
Happy Easter, everybody.
I came back to the internet to find it as useless as ever.
Oh. No, I wanted to compliment the internet really quick.
Yep.
I posted a, you remember my theory about, or maybe you don't, my theory about The Last Jedi was that it was an anti-movie. It was specifically crafted to be the opposite of a movie, that in terms of plot and in terms of appeal to the audience and in terms of everything, it was meant to do the exact opposite of what a story should do. That was my thesis. I called it an anti-movie.
Okay.
Well, somebody posted a, somebody started one of those threads. It's like, what's the worst movie you've ever seen? And people reply to that and then quote tweet it and then quote tweet it and then quote tweet it. And somebody quote tweeted about The Last Jedi. So I just, did a small 256 character post summarizing my thesis that I've posted on Twitter before, kind of just reminding the people who follow my account of my thesis, because that's all it was meant for, is people who are who follow me and who reply to me and stuff. So they'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that. Okay. Well, I don't know why, but it went, quote unquote viral. So it's got at this point, it's got like almost it's got 1 million views. A Reddit thread, almost 10,000 likes, 1,300 retweets, over 1,000 comments on it, and all on, just this tiny little thing I dashed off in less than a minute, that was just meant for, like 5 people who remember what I've said about it before, posted about it before. And most of them were mad. I mean, these people are angry. They're
Well, this is
really.
it's funny, it's well said, but it's not anything anybody hasn't already said about The Last Jedi. It's just said well.
And they said things like grow up, it's a child's movie for this, it's a child's movie for that. And they're really mad about it. And so they're posting all these insulting things and stuff. But I really want to say this, and I'm not being facetious. I've only received one kill yourself. I've only been called a racist once. And I've only had one person accuse me of being part of a hate mob that drove The Star Wars actresses off the internet. Out of 1,000 comments of rapidly unbalanced people, each of those things has only happened once. So, for the internet, that's showing a lot of restraint. That's showing a lot of calmness for the internet. So, I'm not kidding. That's literally the truth. That actually happened. Those three tweets are the only times, I haven't received any death threats. So the internet has been, for going nuts and crazy about it, it's been kind of chill once you take that into account.
I'm surprised and disappointed all at once. I've got mixed feelings about discourse on the internet improving.
So I just, I'm not saying the internet is a good place, but it's not as bad as you'd think.
Damning with faint praise again, Daddy Warpig. Well, that's good. That's good. I didn't find much interesting. People alluded to sort of arguments or drama in the tabletop RPG or Dungeons and Dragons space, and I come back to find most of it's overblown. I honestly don't see the need for Twitter anymore, other than maybe to follow you and a couple of key bro SR people.
Twitter's algorithm is so completely broken. They're like for you algorithm. I went away for a, I read a bunch of tweets for a day. I went to sleep and I woke up and the next day it was just serving me all the same things I had read the day before. I literally had to go to just reading the tweets of people I'm following for like 2 days before it would serve me different tweets.
Oh, it's junk. I did the reverse. I caught up on the following to see what my buddies had been saying for the past couple of days. And then when I switched back to the For You list to see maybe if the algorithm had improved and added some things for me, it was showing me tweets from some of my friends that I should have seen in the following list.
Oh, but didn't.
It's completely broken.
And I have a guy I followed who made this post saying, "Oh, DJ Qualls is the best. He's an actor, DJ Qualls."
No, DJ Khaled is the best. He
And
tells you every time. Everybody knows DJ Khaled is the best.
For You has served me up this tweet 5 times since I've been scrolling through my feed. Five, Twitter really wants you to know. Like really, really wants you or me specifically to know that DJ Qualls is the best. Like if I didn't get it the first time, they just felt it needed to be reiterated. He is Twitter is saying the best.
Wow.
Also, something the feed has decided to show me twice now. Ben Shapiro has a sister, and she posted a tweet that said that women should maintain their bodies for their children. And then she's doing some like light calisthenics in this tweet.
All right.
Do you know who Ben Shapiro's sister is, Abby?
I've been on the internet before. Of course, I know who she is.
And I was just like, why? It's like watching these people who are posting videos of Eve from Stellar Blade, is that the name of the game? where she's
I don't.
climbing up and down a ladder and they're showing, you know, the jiggle physics. I'm like, great, thank you, Twitter. Ben Shapiro's sister, jiggle physics. I'm so grateful. Twice.
Yeah, two times. That's exactly why the entire internet knows exactly who Ben Shapiro's sister is.
Because once wasn't enough. The algorithm. Once wasn't enough.
You know, it might
Thank
have
you,
been
Twitter.
promoted. It might have been promoted, right? There's so many tweets and things that it sort of paid to show. So while not exactly an advertisement, promoted tweets might get that double bump from the algorithm.
Oh, speaking of Stellar Blade, the other tweet of mine that went even more viral, I had two tweets on the same day. I'm usually a pretty low-key account, which is fine. I'm not complaining. It's not a humble brag or anything. I'm not trying to brag. The other tweet that went like super viral is I was making fun of IGN, which, okay, yeah, low-hanging fruit,
Low
right?
hanging
Cheap
fruit,
shot.
yeah.
The guy who somebody at IGN said that Eve in Stellar Blade was like a sex doll made by people who had never seen a real woman. And I just dashed off this tweet like, you know, they scanned a real woman to make Eve, right? They
Right.
physically scanned a real woman. So the guy who made the game physically had to have seen at least one real woman. And it was the one in the game. That's it. That was the tweet. 13,000 something likes or 12,000 likes. And, you know, I don't know how many views still coming in. And I'm like, this is what the internet pays attention to. Me making fun of IGN. Not that that's bad. You know, I've had worse things that could have gone viral. Making fun of IGN is pretty chill.
You ever see someone saying or doing something stupid, or you know, misunderstanding the situation, and you know, someone turns to another one and says, "Who's going to tell him?" That's you. You're the guy who tells him. Everybody can see that IGN's dumb. Even when you consider art like paintings or drawings or comics or whatever, right? There's a reference photograph, if not a photograph being traced, to generate the so-called unrealistic image of a man or a woman or whatever. But anyway, the whole internet's like, is anybody going to tell him? Who's going to tell him? Daddy Warpig's going to tell him. You're the guy that's going to tell him. And that's why you got 13,000 likes on that one.
So yeah, that was making fun of IGN. That was satisfying.
I'm glad you got to be a subreddit's most hated person for the day. I
Oh.
bet that felt pretty good.
Somebody
And it
took
wasn't about RPGs. It wasn't about RPGs or Gamergate or puppies. So,
A screenshot of my Star Wars thing, and it's now showing up on Facebook. Just like, guys, really?
I'm now fully subscribed to the internet is dead theory.
We're the last few people on the internet, so.
Yeah, if it may seem odd to you that your observation is going around the internet, but then when you remember the internet is probably there's just like 1,000 of us left. It's kind of a
So that was my week on the internet. It's been amusing. A few days of personal abuse. I'm just like, yeah, the guy accused me of bullying people off the internet. I'm like, dude, I've been accused of worse by people more famous than you. Go away.
Right.
Let's see.
Wow.
Is there There's sad news. I don't want to talk about the sad news, though.
We don't have to talk about the sad news. It's done. Gone. There's no sad news.
All the news I've read today, all the things I've read today are like bad or good, but they're not like pertinent to the subject of the show. Like there was this one country that had a bunch of terrorists who were meeting in this place, and this other country blew them up, and now everybody's offended. I'm like, well, you were hosting an international terrorist organization. What did you think was going to happen?
It sounds like your usual case of play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, you know, sorry. Oh, who is it? Somebody. Argentina. Argentina is training its tank soldiers in military simulators that are nothing more than PCs running War Thunder.
What's War Thunder?
What's War Thunder? Have you never heard of War Thunder?
I've never heard of War Thunder.
War Thunder is a video game with very, very highly detailed simulation physics. We've talked about War Thunder before. Highly detailed simulation physics began with tanks, but now includes like airplanes and helicopters and battleships and all kinds of vehicles. It is notorious because people from countries all over the planet regularly petition the developers to alter the characteristics of vehicles in the game because they are unrealistic. And in order to win these arguments, they literally leak classified documents to the War Thunder forums to win the arguments.
Oh.
We've had Chinese documents, American documents, like, and these are not like historical, you know, vehicles. These are real shipping in use. Details of machinery that are state secrets, that it is actually important that enemies of your country not have. And they're being leaked to win arguments in this video game on these
lie.
Forums.
I won't lie. That's hilarious.
So Argentina is using War Thunder, which if you're going to use a video game to train, using a video game who has as accurate as possible, you know, physics and simulations isn't a bad idea. But they're using War Thunder to train their soldiers on. And people found out about this because of a publicity photo that Argentina released of their soldiers training on the computer and showing off their simulators. And War Thunder players are like, wait a minute, I know that bar at the top of the screen. So, yeah. There's really obscure things that are going on that are kind of neat. Somebody took over a really obscure piece of Unix software. Have you ever seen that cartoon from XKCD that says, here's the modern infrastructure of the internet, and like absolutely everything depends on one piece of software that's being maintained by a single guy in Nebraska?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what happened is On Linux, somebody socially engineered that one guy in Nebraska for a critical piece of software on Linux 2 years ago and began maintaining that piece of software when he couldn't, and managed to sneak a backdoor program into several different Linux distros. And this was just found out about 2 or 3 days ago. And so there's been a lot of scrambling. And that is as simple as I can possibly make the story. But it's, obfuscated code and sticking scripts inside the tarball so that it would execute when they're being unpacked to activate the back door, and like entire big commercial Linux packages being tainted with this back door, and it possibly being a Chinese state actor hacker doing this, and it's just,
It is pretty fascinating, isn't it?
yeah.
Because it, all, like you said, injecting obfuscated code, this software, these libraries are open source. And so in order to get this done, the bad actor had to basically put the code and put the exploit in the libraries in plain sight.
Yeah. And he's making commits and like giving reasons for why. Oh, I'm turning off security software on this commit because it fixes this problem. And he just kind of does it and everybody goes along with it.
I was just reading the timeline of what happened today, and it's funny that you mentioned like government actors, because as soon as I read who it was, the name of the person doing the commits, Jia Tan, I immediately laughed out loud at my desk. Like, malicious, Chinese national malicious actor. I don't want to get myself or us on the show in trouble too much, but when it comes to national actors, I take second and third looks. If I were running open source, I'd take two or three extra looks at someone who might be a Chinese national. They do
Yes, I'm
not care.
from mainland China.
Oh yeah, and oh, they knew he was from mainland China. I mean, I'm sure Chinese contribute all the time, but well, Jia Tan just ruined it for the rest of them.
Yeah, I just thought it was a fascinating story. I'm like,
It
2 years.
is fascinating. And how do you get that executable code in as part of the, like you said, seemingly innocuous check-ins that disabled analyzers and security features that might have detected the problem, and then dumping giant blobs of code into test files where it looks like it's just, oh yeah, here's like a several megabyte file that we're using for testing. Like, we're testing this function against a large object, right? So here's the test object. Yeah, it's not a test object. It's malicious code that's going to be executed every time the library loads. Absolutely fascinating, and a crazy dedication to do it over a few years.
Typically, by the way, typically, if it is a Chinese actor, typically they are working against US government or Taiwanese NGOs of one kind or another. They're very targeted. I mean, they will infect everybody, but they're usually eventually going after specific groups. Everybody else just gets kind of caught up in the web. So fascinating stuff, folks. 2 years. They've been working on this hack for 2 years, gradually, slowly, patiently putting it together. Just, but as soon as I read that, like how it started by taking over that maintenance of that software project from the guy who was saying, oh, I'm tired. I haven't been able to do this. I've just been swamped. And the guy says, oh, here, I'll take it over. Here, let me do this. I'm like, oh, XKCD. That was the first thing I tweeted out. Found that cartoon immediately.
Yeah, interesting story. I put the link up there on screen if you're interested in. It's also known as the XZ backdoor, so just web search for that. And if you have no idea what we're talking about, just don't worry about it. Just go back to Twitter and read about the Brosar. It's all good.
Yeah, we have a wide range of interests here on the show.
Before we get to the main show, I just want to pop in and say playing Dungeons & Dragons has been going great. Drolopolis is going great. I think we're going to have to do this on another session, but we've been doing a lot of experimentation with different alignments in the game, and I think that's going to become more important as we get closer to the deadline on Battle Bronsteins in Trilopulus. I will say, and maybe you can give me your opinion on this now. Maybe we set it aside for another time. But evil clerics, did you know that generally speaking, evil clerics cannot memorize cure spells?
Yes.
And if not, what's the role of an evil cleric in the game or in a party? Played by a player, not just a villain.
To hurt people.
To hurt people. I love your one-track mind. Yeah, that's a great possible role. They tend to memorize the spells that affect your foes, so they'll, or in modern game parlance, they'll be debuffers, right? They're going to cast Bane and or Curse and give all of the enemies minus one to hit, or they'll cause fear in an enemy, cause blindness, that sort of thing. Simon Hogwood thinks edginess. Yeah, I guess if your party doesn't have enough tieflings in it, then an evil cleric will do in a pinch. Yeah, like it's still a support class. You still have to play a cleric, but what does it mean to play that without the obvious healing? And the other thing is, honestly, and I think a lot of players have trouble with the idea of playing your alignment, and including me. I'm no evil genius, although I did nuke Trilopulus and Minas Mandalf, and Macho Mandalf did not find out about it for a year. A lot of people don't get the evil alignments. Everybody thinks of the puppy kicking or the murderous psychopath or something like that. And there's room for murder. There sure is room for murder. But I think we're going to explore in the next few weeks more about that. What's it like to play the bad guy? What's it like to play those evil alignments? But I will, I'll point everybody to my blog, dorinal.blogspot.com. I'm putting up the session reports. And I will, if I come up with a little more long form writing on the alignment discussion, we'll put that up there, but that's not ready yet. So that's what's going on in my neck of the woods. Also, if you're ready to move on to the main event, D-Dubs.
Sure.
I also have been prompted by the Godzilla X Kong movie. I did start watching the Monarch show on Apple Plus TV Flix.
Yes.
I don't recall what you said about it. I know that you mentioned it. I will say that you have to sit through a lot of really bad television to get to the exciting action bits so far in each episode. But It is only a TV show, but it's a moderately budgeted TV show with giant monsters in it. So it's not all bad.
It's got Kurt Russell.
It's got Kurt Russell in it. It's like a it is a breath of relief to watch him chew scenery after dealing with all the other characters. Dialogue is very poorly, well, let's the dialogue is very millennially written, if you smell what I'm cooking. But
You might. They do have giant monsters in the show, but I thought they should have had more. And I think fewer episodes would have allowed them to have more giant monsters per episode, but maybe they couldn't. Maybe that was part of their contractual obligation or whatever.
I'm sure they had a certain number of hours or a certain number of episodes to fill or whatever. But still, well, the reason why I went back to that is because this is sort of a shared monster verse with the latest Godzilla movie, Godzilla X Kong, which I did see instead of seeing Ghostbusters because my wife and I were talking about going to the movies and we were going to go see Ghostbusters. And she's like, but Godzilla just came out. And that just made that decision real easy.
Yeah, I was going to go see Ghostbusters 2, but when you said you were going to go see Godzilla, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll go see Godzilla then. Although I accidentally went and saw Godzilla in 3D, which is something
Accident.
that I generally avoid.
Yeah, I'm not a fan myself.
This is not as miserable as the last 3D I saw, though, so that was good. Last time I saw a movie in 3D, it was so dark I could barely see the screen. This was not that bad. I
Yeah,
could actually see
3D
the screen.
3D is generally unpleasant to watch.
And this is well done 3D. So, on that level at least, if you go and see it in 3D, it's well done 3D.
So anyway, Godzilla X Kong. I basically had forgotten everything that happened in the last slugfest between the two, except it, I think Kong lost and went underground, and that's how the story begins with the sort of that status quo established at the last movie.
I completely forgot everything about the last movie.
I think there
Like,
was a Mecha Godzilla in it.
I didn't even remember that until the guy said in the movie, the guy said, "Oh yeah, Mechagodzilla," or somebody mentioned Mechagodzilla. I'm like, "Oh yeah, there was a Mechagodzilla." I remembered more about Black Summer last week. That was 7 years ago. Then I remembered about, the Godzilla King Kong movie that was 3 or 4 years ago.
Hey, you know what? I don't blame you at all. It is forgettable popcorn movie. A couple of years from now, we're gonna talk about something, a new monster movie or whatever, and one of us is gonna say, "Hey, do you remember that Godzilla X Kong movie?" And we're gonna say, "Yeah, I liked it, or I enjoyed it, or it was fun, or whatever." And
I
then
don't even
do you remember anything about it? Nope.
remember the subtitle.
I don't remember the subtitle of the one I just watched.
Yeah, like it's Godzilla X Kong, the New Kingdom, something, I think.
Something like that. Who cares? I War Pig. Let's start off with the good stuff. Godzilla versus Kong, Titans fighting Titans, beating each other up, destroying stuff. Does it deliver on the promise? Did you get what you wanted?
Yeah, I was entertained for all the movie. I was The one thing I was disappointed by wasn't the movie's fault. I was on 3 hours of sleep, And I watched the entire movie and I was excited to see it. And right when it was getting to the climax, like literally when everybody was gathering together for the final fight, my body collapsed on me because it just gave up. It said, "You've been doing 5 days of 3 hours of sleep a night and I'm through." And
Oh
so
no.
I missed the entire final fight. Because there was like a four-way final fight. And I missed it. So I can't comment on that. So all the machinations of that fight and what the humans are doing and how the person got dressed up in her costume and how the thing got, brought out and how what the fluid was doing and all that I just missed. I don't know how that all happened. But everything up until that point, I was mostly enjoying. I'm not saying it was, I'm not saying it was on the level of your great action movies, of your legendary action movies, but it was really enjoyable. And it wasn't a movie that hates the audience and wants them to suffer. It was a movie that was genuinely trying to entertain the audience. And it's a very kind of classic sort of pulp tale. The one thing that was odd, this is the funniest thing to me though, is like the entire beginning of the movie has Kong as this blue collar schlub working guy. He like gets up and he has to go do this thing and then some other guy happens and he has to kill it and he's covered and he's dirty from his job and he has to go wash off and he goes and sits down to eat his lunch and then somebody comes and takes his food and he goes to get him. He's just so tired from work and he just lets it go. I'm just like, I'm watching Ralph Crampton here. It's the honeymoon. I'm like, this is a sitcom, isn't it? We're watching the King Kong sitcom. I thought that whole intro sequence with King Kong was just completely the wrong thing. They're trying to make you feel for King Kong, like empathy, because he's all alone. They're trying to make you feel bad for him being all alone. But really, he just comes across as this poor, put upon working guy. I mean, he may as well have put on a hard hat and clocked out of clocked out of a factory and been walking home and opened up a Miller and been watching TV.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And it sets up a sort of it sets up a story or the idea of a story arc that they don't really pay off. And I suspect it's because the movie was ruthlessly cut to be just under 2 hours. Absolutely ruthlessly.
I'm not saying that ruins the movie. It was funny to me.
No, it was no. It is funny, and I had forgotten about that. Watching the beginning, where it's sort of, and of course Kong's got a little gray in his beard, and you're like, oh, he's getting older. He's a little long in the tooth, and oh, is that what this is going to be about? Is this movie going to be about Kong sort of being old, long in the tooth? And it sets up a story arc that isn't paid off very well, but the whole movie is like they know we want to watch monsters duke it out. So that's how it starts, right? Kong is hunting, right? And he's doing his thing. And you have to see catch up with some of the human characters because they're important to what happens. Well, not really. The human characters are there to explain to us, to be the audience surrogates, to explain to us sort of what's happening and what the setup of the film is, so that they can set the stage for the next action scene. So in that sense, it's paced really, really well. And these scenes where these characters that you don't really care for, I can't find myself in me find it in me to care at all about, you know, whatever the scientists or the agents of Monarch or whatever are doing, you know, because I know what they're there for. They're there to explain, okay, so why is Kong acting this way? Why is Godzilla acting this way? Here's what we think it is, right? And so that sets up the next action scene, which is almost always a fight between two monsters, right? That's all I wanted. And it's almost like the editors are trying to apologize to us, like, hey, look, we're sorry that you have to spend time with these human characters. I promise this is we're going to get this over as soon as possible, and we're going to get to the next fight, okay? Just like, here you go. And here's a shot of Godzilla stomping all over Rome. Cool. That's how I felt, especially about the first half of the film.
Yeah, I did not care about the humans at all.
One bit.
And they're really trying hard to make like the mom sympathetic and stuff, but she just didn't come across as a sympathetic person.
No.
So none of the monarch people really came across as sympathetic people. I don't know if they know how to make sympathetic people anymore. The guy, the dude in the Hawaiian shirt.
Is not even a real human being. No human being on the planet behaves like that. I'm sorry. He's just not.
Yeah, I just.
It's weird, right?
None of them. I don't want to say that the movie is badly written because it's not the movie isn't badly written. It's just those characters, they're not written like real people. They're exactly what you said. They're just there to kind of.
It's a thankless job,
Yeah.
but you've been handed really bad dialogue, and your purpose, you can read the script and you can see that your purpose in the script is to A, exposition for to set up the next scene, to the next set piece. Like that's your primary purpose, and your secondary purpose may be to add some tension or stakes or emotional weight, because nobody, there's no tension if, oh no, my giant, you know, animated Kong might die, or my animated Godzilla might die. Nobody cares, right? You do have to have that little bit of human element to it. And since this is not a movie about people trying to survive the next Godzilla attack or the next King Kong rampage, right? Like this isn't that kind, this isn't Godzilla minus one, right? The whole point of this movie, just like the last one, is the giant monsters duking it out.
Yeah. I like the monster who attacked Rome. I thought that looked cool. I would have liked to have seen that for a little longer.
A hilarious touch with in Rome, what Godzilla does in Rome after the attack. And they call back to it again at the end of the movie. Really fun stuff. But
That
well,
I can't imagine living in that world where no matter where you live on the planet, you can all of a sudden turn around someday and bam, there's a giant monster just bearing down on you. And the best thing you can hope for is that Godzilla shows up to stomp your move your town to get rid of the
exactly.
monster.
See, now I don't really know anything about the original Godzilla movies, so I'm going to explain this for the benefit of me and everybody else listening who maybe is ignorant like me. But in this world, in this cinematic world, if you will, there are a bunch of giant monsters, and they live all over the globe, and there's also like a hollow world, you know, the land that lost in time underneath the Earth's surface. And there's, you know, magic pylons that play with gravity and light so that, you know, giant monsters can live down there, right? And this was discovered or established at the end of that previous Godzilla versus Kong movie. And so, like I said before, that's why this isn't about, oh my God, the drama of, you know, people getting their city flattened. No, this is a fight over the kinds of monsters that control that hollow world. And it's just monster versus monster. Every just about every set piece is the next monster fight that's happening. And that's where the storyline with Kong comes into play, because like you said, he's old, he's beat up, he's all alone, blah blah blah. Well, that's what the subtitle, the whatever kingdom title is about, right? You know, Kong finds some other giant apes. Only they're the bad guys, right? And the giant apes are of course fighting other giant kaiju-like monsters down there. And what more do you need, man? I don't know what more that you need than that.
So, yeah, I had fun. I enjoyed it. I wish I could have seen the end of the movie. That's not the movie's fault. Lack of sleep just catches up with you sooner or later, and I just one of those cases where I stopped moving long enough to for my body to catch up with me and said, nope.
I think if I'm not going to say get another ticket and watch it, but you'd probably enjoy it. The final battle is sort of everything that's promised that it leads up to. There's a you might have seen a clip running around the internet of, you know, Godzilla and Kong with Kong like chase, you know, following right behind Godzilla, right? Yeah, there's new monsters, and it's not a free for all. It's a two sides, one side versus the other battle. So Godzilla and Kong, you know they're gonna team up by the end of the film. Whether they end as teammates, you know, you'll have to watch for yourself. But yeah, the final battle is just a big showdown with all the monsters that they've sort of introduced in the film. And I mean, the snob would turn his nose up at a purely cartoon spectacle like that, but it was a fun spectacle.
Yeah. The sad thing is that they have like characters from the last movie who come back. And so if you remember the characters from the last movie and you had like some emotion invested in them, like the little girl who could talk to King Kong from the last movie comes back and she's a big part of this movie. So if you remember her and you liked her and stuff, then she's in this movie. But if you don't remember anything about her, like I didn't, and then that's just completely not going to mean anything to you.
Yeah. And plus it's hard to get emotionally attached to a plot device.
Was the mom even in the last movie? Was it the same actress?
Yes. Yeah, she cut and dyed her hair for this film. In fact, the doctor, the veterinarian character, calls attention to it right away.
Because I legitimately thought they had recast the part because I
No,
could not remember her.
same woman. I'm a little slow with the IMDb today, but I'll get you her name in a sec.
I mean, I remember her from Iron Man 3, and she did a much better job in Iron Man 3. I know she's a good actress. I know she can do good stuff. I remember her from some horror movie or something. I've also seen her in. Or no, a horror TV show. I think she was in that show on Amazon Prime, the really weird one with the robots and stuff. You remember that one? She played the daughter who was having problems with wandering through time. Who like disappeared, who wanders into this temporal fugue thing and goes back and helps herself escape and stuff. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, if you pulled up.
I have her IMDb. We're talking about Rebecca Hall, and she was in The Prestige. What else do I recognize? Tales from the Loop.
That's it.
I remember watching a few episodes of that.
All the things I just said were from Tales from the Loop.
Oh, yeah.
Going back in time, and she had, worries about her past and where she came from and her mom, and she had that house that was like old and broken down that she wandered in. And yeah, she's a good actress. I know she's a good actress. It's just this wasn't it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, they did not put the effort into the human characters in the dialogue, because they knew that all they had to do was nail the I'm speaking of like the writers and the producers, just nail the fun monster actions and you have yourselves a hit. And they do, they have a hit. Everybody else is going to see it. Kong's done really well at the box office so far, and I'm glad everybody got a fun, stupid monster movie that we
That's
could just t take our mind off of stuff and just enjoy.
so I'm looking at her IMDb too. The very first time I remember seeing her from was from The Town. She played the bank teller from The Town who becomes the girlfriend of Ben Affleck's character. And she did a phenomenal job in that. She is a really talented, really good actress. They just did not give her material in this that let her. That let her carry it off, and it's unfortunate. So yeah, by the way, folks, I don't know if we've talked about The Town. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. I love that movie. I think it's an incredible movie. So
The Town, okay.
yeah, I wish I could say that like she was a standout in this movie, or she elevated the material, or she took bad material, gave it a great spin. None of that's true. But she is wasted on this movie.
But you don't sign up to do the Godzilla movie to, that's not a prestige thing. You're not doing that as a feather in your cap as an actor.
No. But it's big and successful. They made $115 million, I think, this opening weekend.
Good
So,
stuff. Good stuff. It was a
compare
ton of
that to
fun.
like the Spider Woman Madame Web movie that made like 11 million or 3 million or 6 million or whatever it was, something just disastrous. Are you there?
I can only agree. I mean, absolutely. But then again, we have a sense for what might be worth watching versus what isn't. The sort of sense that people who are still mad when someone talks crap about The Last Jedi don't have. That the N NPCs, these NPCs that don't really have any thoughts or understanding of their own. Even though you can tell, okay, we know who Godzilla is, we know who King Kong is, we know what kind of movie we're going to get. Like, we know that that's the sort of movie that, yeah, I'm gonna take my honey out on a date. We're gonna get some popcorn. We're gonna watch the monsters duke it out, right? I'm gonna go see it with my boys or whatever. We're gonna go have a good time, right? Something that Madam Web doesn't have, that where people look at that and first of all, what is it? Is it like a hero, superhero, or a villain, or something like that? What sort of How could this possibly have something to offer me, especially since I've overdosed on so many comic book movies in the past 10 years or however many years, right? Of course. It simply doesn't have anything to offer, unlike something like a dumb monster movie does.
All right, well, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. It's got a traditional kind of pulp storyline feel to it. And there's absolutely nothing in this movie that you need to have seen the Monarch miniseries to understand. Nothing. Like, not even the slightest, least little tiniest bitty thing. So, actually, there's nothing in this movie you need to have seen the previous movie to understand. They mention Skull Island. They mention her people. I guess that's a sign of good exposition, right? It's like everything you need to know about the movie is in the movie. So, yeah, go watch it. I enjoyed it. If you want to go see, giant monsters beating the crap out of each other.
And you do. Our unusually, extraordinarily intelligent, prudent, and wisdom-seeking listeners already know they want to see this movie. Go see it. It's awesome.
I think that's it for today.
I'm done. I'm wiped out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go get geared up for D&D this week. It was awesome chatting with you. I love actually getting excited about a new movie or something that comes out. I hope to do it again next week. I bet you're gonna tell me, should I worry about whether we're gonna be back?
Oh,
I don't
I
think.
hear that Three Body Problem is entirely out on Netflix, so there's a chance I might have seen all of it by next week. I'm not saying there's a good chance, but there's a chance.
It's a science fiction movie or
Yeah,
show.
it's based on a, to bring this back to the Chinese hacker thing at the beginning of the show. It's based on a series of science fiction novels. By a Chinese science fiction author, originally written in Chinese, translated into English. The show, it was censored a bit to be fit past state restrictions, and then as it got translated into English, some of the things that he had to do to get it past state censors, he got to undo the English language version. So the Chinese author actually considers the English language version to be the definitive edition of his novels. And the Netflix adaptation is supposedly based on the English language. The Netflix adaptation is based on the English language version of his novels. I don't know how good an adaptation it is. But the opening scene is of a struggle session in the in China during the Great Cultural Revolution. It is absolutely chilling, absolutely brutal. Not something that we have seen in Western media depict really very often. And I've watched that scene. Because the clips of it they got posted, and so I'm interested in seeing it. I still haven't managed to watch Halo. I really So anyways, I want to all the episode they released all the episodes at once. I just haven't watched it because we were doing Godzilla for this week, so hopefully I can get it watched for next week and we can talk about it. It's on Netflix, so we'll see.
Oh, I got an older movie, a goodie for you. I don't think we talked about it because I couldn't find it on the in the archives. Did you ever see Blood Red Sky?
No, I don't know that I've heard of Blood Red Sky.
All right, that's your homework for next week. It starts off as one thing and it turns into another, and the hint is in the title, Blood Red Sky.
Who's in it?
Nobody. It's a German movie. How about an ill-fated transatlantic flight?
Oh yes. I reviewed that.
Oh, I checked our archives for your review and couldn't find it.
Yeah, I watched that. I liked that. I was upset because they gave it away in the trailers.
Oh, big mistake.
Yeah.
And you had to give it away in the title, but
Yeah,
yes,
it was bad.
I watched it cold without the trailers. And so I bought the opening scene about leukemia, and I was like, this, she's acting really strange for someone who's just getting a cancer treatment, but let's find out. And then it turns awesome. So I guess you've already
Yeah,
reviewed it.
I did. I liked
But
it. I really liked it. Naomi
it's really
Rapace.
good.
It's Naomi Rapace, right?
Maybe that is. I don't think so, but could have been.
Reopen close tab. Don't you have a IMDb open that you can just
Yeah.
oh, shaking
Yeah.
my fist here.
Perry Baumeister. It's not
Oh. She
yeah,
just
not
looks like her. Okay, my
yeah,
bad.
no, nobody's in it. Oh no, there is one person in it. Dominic Purcell, aka the Prison Break guy, is in it.
But yeah, it is a really good movie. I definitely enjoyed it. I loved the scenes in the house. That was really, the little cabin.
Yep. In fact,
Oh.
I was both angry at the repeated flashbacks because I was like, I don't need this anymore. Like, my mind has already filled in all this part of the story, so you don't need to show it. On the other hand, I thought I could probably watch a whole movie of this part of the
Yeah.
story.
So yeah, folks, if you haven't seen Blood Red Sky, and I think that was that also on Netflix?
Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead and look it up. It was also really good. Also really good movie to watch. So yeah. She really does look like a lot like Naomi Rapace. I think I made that mistake when I did the when I did the first review too. All right, we're done here.
We are done here. Thanks for the great show. I hope everybody listening later really enjoyed it, and has already bought their tickets to see Godzilla. It's good stuff. Thanks, Daddy Warpig.
All right, folks, we want to thank everyone who tuned in to listen live. We want to thank everyone who will tune in and listen later. This has been Geek Gab for Monday, April 1st, 2024. We're here just about every week at 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific Monday nights. Be sure to subscribe and click the bell icon. You'll get notices when we go live. You can also, by the way, catch us on the Google Play Store, on SoundCloud.com, and on the iTunes Store. Listen to us on the device of your choice. Download us to the computer, or listen to us live on listen to us on the web. We are signing out for today, folks. Don't you worry. Don't you fret. We will be back.